Yeah, I'm going to flat out say it. Living abroad is overrated. Hello there and welcome back to another Friday night for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. I'm Rafael Di Fuoria here to talk a little bit more about life abroad and living abroad this Friday night. I wanted to back up that statement that I have just made at the beginning of this episode. And yes, I would say living abroad is overrated, but making your home abroad, making a life for yourself abroad is what to strive for. But here's what I mean. In my 12 plus years abroad, I've seen a number of expats saying, oh, we love living here. We travel around. We go to the supermarket every day. We have our meat place that we go. We have this store. We have that place that we go to. And talking about kind of like just the restaurants and kind of fluffy stuff, kind of the things that are important for life nonetheless, but not necessarily the most important factors of living abroad. It's kind of like letting the location where that person lives to be just the background. Just it's almost like to me hearing somebody say, oh, I live at Disneyland and my neighbor Mickey, that guy, he's a real stand-up citizen. I mean, like, you're not really living in a complete reality here. Like, yeah, you're living in the place, but you're not there. You're not fully embracing what is to do with that location. Because it's different to experience a place versus to embrace, to really make it your home, to make it your life. And so many expats get stuck in their bubbles of expats abroad, like an American living in America outside of America, an English person living in a Little Britain outside of Britain, whatever the nationality is, it doesn't matter. And there are sometimes international expat bubbles where everybody comes together. And I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, because yes, I have fallen into those bubbles myself, and it can be very comforting to be able to speak your language with a native speaker of your language. I mean, that can be a huge deal at the end of the day, to relax and kick back and not have to break your brain over something else, over another language, over a different way of processing the world. Because when you properly start speaking another language, you are not processing the world or explaining the world in the same way that you would in your native language. And again, this is a part of embracing a place and setting down roots there. I'm not saying that you have to speak the language perfectly. I'm not saying that you have to be the best, most educated academic speaker of the language with the C2 certificate. No, I'm just saying you need to be able to get by from day to day. Live your life. Make a home there. And especially when kind of thinking about the West and thinking about people moving abroad, people living that expat life. Unlike 100 years ago, leaving your home country was pretty much the equivalent of saying that you would never see your family or friends or any of those things that were familiar to you again. It was, you basically were just leaving it all behind you. Whereas now, if something goes wrong, first thing that so many expats do is say, oh, I'm getting a plane ticket and going home. But that shows it right there, the mindset that they are living abroad, that they don't consider home to be abroad. That is showing that where they live is where they are staying, but not where they have set roots, because they're in their minds, home is that other place over there where they come from. And the location, again, ends up being just kind of the background for their fabulous life living abroad. I know I'm sounding like a bitter expat here, and in some ways I am, because I think this idea of living abroad is really way too far glamorized. It's just living life, but in a different country. And I realize that may even sound like I'm arguing against the point I've been making this whole time, but again, it's about setting that root, setting that place for yourself. Where it is that you happen to be, where it is that you will call home. Is it the old country? Is it the new country? Where is that place for you? Where is it that you are going to make that happen for yourself? I know, especially for a lot of Americans, they think about going abroad for a few years or a year, a few months. They don't think about, oh, I'm going to leave my country and make a life for myself someplace else. The idea, yes, of course, is to make a life for yourself someplace else. But there's always the idea, oh, wait, I can go back. I can go make something happen, because, of course, things in that country have to be great. I mean, quality of life there is amazing. And I would argue that's debatable. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the country that I come from is necessarily this inherently horrible place. No, I have love for that country that I grew up in, and I'm so grateful that I grew up there because it has influenced who I have become. It is not who I am, but it is part of the kind of conglomeration of my experiences and who I've become as an adult. And again, an argument for the expat bubbles is allowing yourself to feel like maybe you haven't left everything behind. Allowing yourself to feel as though that your life has some semblance of normalcy in a new place where everything is so foreign, so new, so different, where you have to get used to a new way of living. You have to get used to a new way of living and experiencing life. So yes, of course, it's very nice to be able to have a nice warm blanket, a nice fluffy blanket that you can wrap around yourself. And that is something that I will say at times I do miss, being able to just freely speak my language, just being able to communicate without any hiccups and get my points across. Because also, over my time abroad, I have started losing my English. I have started making mistakes in my own language and speaking it in a non-natural manner, because there have been many ways that I've had to misspeak to be able to be understood, to speak in the way that, say, when learning a language and not being able to fully communicate in that language with people who are maybe preferring to speak in my language, I've had to change sometimes the way that I say things so that I can be understood. And it's incorrect, but if you translate directly from that other person's language, then it makes sense to them. But the other thing is that even though I do feel as though maybe I've lost this little piece of kind of something that I had once, I have also gained a lot. I've gained the ability, even though I don't speak other languages fluently like I do with English, even though I don't have the same level of ability to communicate, I do have the ability to communicate in other languages. And what that gives you the ability to do is to be able to learn really about a place, to get to hear a local's perspective, their gripes, the beautiful things, the wonderful things, the horrible things, what's going on, the little details that you might not get if you're just reading an article in English online, an expat forum. I rather have the information about how that place works from a local who knows how to navigate the system. And I'm truly not meaning to knock on expats in any kind of way, because there have been times where I've been an expat looking for help, and somebody else who spoke my language was able to help me in a new country that I had moved to and to get used to things. And I've been that for other people as well, that like to help navigate things. But if and when possible, especially once you start getting a little bit more of the hang of how things really are in that country and you can be able to communicate on your own, then it is very nice to be able to ask a local, what do you do in this situation? What is your opinion about this issue, this topic, about what's going on with this city project or what's going on with that politician? What is going on? To get to hear what they have to say in their own language and how they have to say it. Because again, going back to what I was talking about before, when you are speaking in another language, you are processing the world. You are explaining the world. You are experiencing the world in a different way. Manner. Like in the last episode that I released of Not Your Average Globetrotter with a History of Italy podcast's host, Mike Corradi, he made a very interesting point about how in Italian, this concept of accountability isn't something that's easily explainable. There's no specific word for that. And depending on what language you're speaking, there are ideas and concepts and that can be explained in a single word that if you try to translate it to another language, you need a book of information. You need a paragraph maybe, or a sentence, or maybe you need a 3-hour lecture on this cultural aspect of how things work in this place with these people, and to understand that this is connected to that and the other historic and this and all of these stories for a single word. I mean, there's words like that we don't have in English. There are these concepts that just simply don't exist. And this is why I mentioned that sometimes when I speak with my family, we mix languages together and a number of languages, because sometimes it's just simply easier to be able to make a point in a single word rather than have to explain the concept in a full paragraph, in a full sentence, whatever it is, and to be able to just continually speak, to be able to communicate. And so that's one of the beautiful things about being able to communicate with another person, is to be able to hear them explain it in their words and understand what it is that they mean. Because that's also when a person has to speak in another language, it might not be as natural for them. It might not have the same level of fluidity to explain the concepts, because for a lot of people, myself included, your second language maybe isn't as good as your first language, or third language, fourth language, whatever it may be, isn't as good as some of those first ones. And your ability to truly get your thoughts across, to get your points across, can be difficult. And when you are able to communicate with a person in their language, you remove that filter. You get the unfiltered, okay, maybe people will filter their thoughts and not say certain things. But again, it's just removing a barrier. And when you finally reach that point of understanding not what the differences are between cultures, languages, and so on, but why those parts of a culture are the way that they are, or why they exist, and you can get that little bit more of a underlying meaning to them, that's when you start actually making a life for yourself abroad, when you start making that place your home. Granted, you could speak a language and not have to make that place your home, but it takes you that little step closer. So it's not just you're living abroad. You're not just having this beautiful place as a background, as a just some the setting for where you are, for where you're speaking. You're actually fully embracing that location for what it is and how it is, whether you like it or not. And that allows you to make the choice. Is that the appropriate place for you? And is that the appropriate place where you would like to make your life long term? And for a lot of people, they will end up in a country that ends up being perfect for them. Some people will go from country to country. Some people will go to one country and then come back to their home country. You have to do what's right for you. You have to make sure that you are comfortable. And sometimes when living abroad, like I've said a number of times, at least I hope I've said this in the past after 200 episodes, I hope I've said this at least once, that I know for me, living abroad has been uncomfortable in many situations, but I have grown comfortable with being uncomfortable. If that makes any kind of sense, I realize that may sound a little bit strange, but once you get comfortable with that odd situation, the situation that makes you uncomfortable, you can start embracing more around you. You can start to experience more, to have all these kinds of different experiences. And that's why people move abroad often. Okay, maybe there are financial reasons why a person may move abroad, but there are a lot of people who do move abroad for a new experience. I'm speaking kind of the general person who may be coming from the United States or Canada or Europe. General person. I'm not talking about somebody who might be an economic immigrant or even an expat who goes to a country because of a job, who gets relocated for that purpose, or maybe even somebody who is in the armed forces and gets relocated for a posting abroad. I'm talking about an individual who picks up, packs up, and moves of their own volition to a different place without that extra support. Because I will say, when we're talking about the expat umbrella, there are different camps under that. There are the people who receive the assistance from their job to go abroad, and then there are the people who do it on their own. And I've seen so many more times where the people who just kind of do it on their own really are able to embrace more of what's going on there, whereas the people who end up there for their job or end up like working for an American school or an organization abroad end up living in their like little American bubble, their little British bubble, their little German bubble, whatever it is that they might be within their company or business or whatever it is that they were working for in their home country. It just is an extension of that. Again, I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but it's more using the location as the background, not the foreground of the main stage of your life. Anyway, I think I'm going to round this out here. So thank you all so much for joining me for another Friday night, for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Of course, as always, the hugest thank you to those of you who help to make content like this possible on a monthly basis through patreon.com/RafaelDiFuria or RafaelDiFuria.com/Patreon. And also for those of you who've bought the shirts, mugs, onesies, and more, posters and so on. That's it. I'm moving to Italy. Italy, enough said. Pizza, pasta, amore, and more. Thank you all so much for your support, as well as for those of you who are the one-time donators through PayPal. Thank you all so very much for helping to make content like this possible on a monthly basis. And of course, if you're interested in more content like this about living abroad, life abroad, expat life, and living in Italy as a dual citizen expat, be sure that you are subscribed to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Raffaello Di Furia, or my audio-only podcast, Not Your Average Globetrotter. Thank you all so much for joining me again on another Friday night. Look forward to seeing you all next time. Stay safe and healthy out there. Later.